We will yet continue our services and hear God's holy word from the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verses 1 to 19. And the words in Jesus' name are as follows. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that was what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Amen. The Acts of the Apostles relate of many events that happened after the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, the time when God's word was preached by the disciples, first in Jerusalem and later throughout Asia Minor. And talks of many things that happened at that time. And it has, we could say, events like this, which show, of course, God's will and his power, and how he is able to do all things. But which also, as we can see, are very interesting events to read, which tell us of the history of God's children upon this earth. And also, we can even be amazed by the power of God, because we so often forget that with God nothing is possible. All things are possible. If it is God's will that things would happen in a certain way, they happen in that way. And that's why it's also important for us to remember here when it spoke how the believers prayed so much unto God that Peter could be released, that God's children remember to pray because God hears these prayers. And God answers our prayers in his time and his way. And here we can see how he was able to answer the prayers of these believers in such a remarkable way. We heard here how the king began to persecute God's children, the believers who were preaching the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his kingdom and encouraging people to repent and believe. They were doing exactly that which the Lord had commanded them to do and which the Lord had left for them to do, that they were to preach this gospel of the forgiveness of sins all over unto all who would listen and believe, and that those who would believe would begin to follow him. They would be his children. And so they wanted to do this work, just as God's children have always done. That matter has not changed, really, has it? We still know how God sends his workers when it is his time into those places in this world where there are receptive hearts, where there are those who are seeking the peace of God's kingdom. But at this time, Herod saw, as we heard, that when he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, he saw that this pleased the Jews, who were unhappy with this message that they still had to listen to, even after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven. He was no longer there. And then he thought that he would imprison Peter, which he did. So we are told that he had apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. But his intention wasn't, as we heard here, to kill him, and his intention wasn't to keep him for a lengthy period of time. He had thought that after Easter he would release him. But that wasn't God's plan. God had another plan. And this plan, as we already heard, was certainly in part because of the desire and the prayers of the people. And we are told how Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. God's children, God's holy congregation upon this earth, those who had found grace and peace, were sorrowful that Peter was in prison and would have wanted that he could be released, that he would not have to be under there. So they prayed to God. God's word teaches us that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. And it is, as we already heard, good for us to remember this, to use this power of prayer in our lives always, not only those times when we feel that things are completely wrong and going in exactly the opposite way that we would want, but to pray to the Heavenly Father that we could remain as his children in his kingdom, and that our families, our friends, and all of God's children would remain believing, and also that not one would be lost, and that those who have been lost would repent and believe, would find God's kingdom again. These prayers are also heard by the Heavenly Father. And also those times, as we've discussed so much this weekend, that when we fall into sin, when we transgress the will of the Heavenly Father and God speaks to us through our consciences. And we know how difficult it is. We have experienced how difficult it is to approach a trusted brother or sister in faith and speak of these matters so we can be freed of them. That we can also pray to the Heavenly Father that He would help us in this matter also. And when we have done that, we have experienced how He does. So as God's children, we want to use this power of prayer. And these believers, many of whom were newly converted, understood this and they prayed. And then we read of this amazing situation that occurred that night. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So we read here that Peter would soon have been released. God's children were praying for him, and he was still in prison. And yet, God saw that this was the time. This was the time that he should be released from prison, and not the time when Herod would choose to release him. So we are told how he was sleeping in his prison cell, that he had one soldier on one side and the other on the other sides with him. He was bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. He was secure there. Herod certainly wouldn't have suspected that he could escape. It wasn't something that he would have probably even considered could happen. But we heard then what happened. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. The Heavenly Father sent his angel there. We already heard how this Sunday is set aside for angels and children, and how these angels who are there with God in heaven do his work and his bidding, as this angel did at this time. The angel of the Lord came, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And when he said that, the chains fell from his hand. And so, he who had been bound, as we were told, with two chains, sleeping between two soldiers, was told by the angel, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals," and we are told that he did that. The angel also told him to dress himself, and he did that, and then the angel led the way. And Peter did what he was bid to do. He followed the angel. We're told he went out and followed him. But Peter was not fully aware, we could say, of what actually was happening. He had no doubt been fast asleep when this occurred. And it would be hard for him to imagine that an angel would come and release him at this time. It wasn't something he would have thought possible, I'm sure, just as none of us would think that that is possible. And we are told he wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming. Peter thought that he was having a dream at that time, and that these things which were actually occurring were not happening. But he did these things, even if it had been part of his dream, as he was told to do. And he followed the angel. And we are told that when they were past the first and the second ward, they came onto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. The angel, through the power of God, released him from his chains. He was no longer bound. He was no longer in prison. He led him out of the prison, and as he led him out, the doors opened for him. And now he was out and in the street, and the angel, as we heard, had done that which he had come to do, and he left. Then we're told, and when Peter was come to himself, now Peter was outside in the street, and he realized that he wasn't dreaming, that this wasn't something that he was imagining was happening. It had happened. This was a true event. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. We can imagine how thankful Peter was to the Heavenly Father, he who had been imprisoned and certainly had been unsure of what his fate was. He knew that James, the brother of John, had been killed, and he knew that on the whim of Herod, he could be killed as well. And he trusted upon the Heavenly Father, as we as God's children do, and knew that no matter what would happen, he would receive that greatest reward of all, eternal life in heaven. But he still was no doubt very thankful of how God had helped him. But then we can also think of this. When we think of his thankfulness as to how God had helped him, he also understood this. And whether he understood it or not, we can realize that God still knew that the work he had for Peter to do in this world wasn't over. Peter still had that work to do which God would give him to do. And then when it was God's time, he would take him to heaven. And so Peter could freely continue doing the work of a disciple, preaching the gospel of the forgiveness of sins unto people, so that those who would repent would believe and find God's kingdom. And so we are told when he had considered the thing, he was in the street in front of the prison, and he realized where he was. He knew where he would go. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. We had already heard how God's children were gathered together praying for his release, for things to go well for him, praying that he wouldn't be killed, all of these things. And he went to that home. He went where his brothers and sisters were. He went where God's children were. Just like we want to do often in our lives and always, and especially those times perhaps when we are sorrowful or when we are troubled with things. We want to go where God's children are, to the congregation of the Heavenly Father. Just as we have been able to be this weekend together where God's children are, with our brothers and sisters in faith. And that we are thankful that we can be there where God is and his children are, because we are cared for, we are fed, we are nourished by the Word of God. We are comforted by the comforting gospel. So Peter went there, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. So when Peter knocked at the door, this young lady, Rhoda, answered it, and she recognized his voice. She didn't have to open the door, but she recognized it, and she was so happy and excited. Here everybody was praying for him, and he actually was there. that she went to tell the others how Peter was outside. But we can consider now what those who were praying for Peter would think. He's in prison. He can't be there. That's not possible. And to our human minds, that isn't possible. How could it be? And so when he gave them this news, this exciting news, which was very exciting for her, they said unto her, "Thou art mad. How could this be true?" But she said it is. She constantly affirmed them that it was even so. She continued to tell them, "Peter is at the gate. He knocked there. He spoke to me." And then they said, "It is his angel." But they could hear that Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. He actually was there. He was not in prison. He was in their midst. But he, beckoning on to them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto him how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And so then Peter was able, with joy, to explain how he had been helped, how the angel of the Lord had appeared, how the chains had fallen from his hands, how he had followed this angel out of the prison to the street, and had now come there where the believers were. And this was, as we heard, astonishing to them. But they heard and they believed because they saw what had happened. And we can imagine their happiness, along with Peter's happiness, that now he was there with them again. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed. He went another place. He didn't stay there. But he wanted the news of this event to be related to others so that they also would know what had happened. But yet this portion of God's word tells us about the heart of the king. And we are still told more about him. It isn't left here, because this was a miracle from God. And Jesus had come to save everyone. He had come to save Herod as well. If he could have repented and believed, he would also have been able to follow the Lord and Savior Jesus in his kingdom. But he didn't have that heart. He didn't ponder that, how is it possible that this man would have been released who was so securely attached to those chains and sleeping between the guards. They didn't know anything had happened. We are told it wasn't until daylight that they noticed that Peter wasn't there, that he was no longer there. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers, and he commanded that they should be put to death. He blamed them who were not to blame. They were certainly trying to do their duty, but God's will was that they were not able to do this duty, to keep Peter there. And Herod, rather than examining himself and his own heart, examined the keepers and found them faulty and commanded that they would be put to death. But when we consider these matters, we see again the power of God, and we trust upon this power of God, just as Peter and the believers did those days so long ago. And we know that with God all things are possible. So we can be confident. We can continue traveling confidently as his children in his kingdom unto our eternal reward also, knowing that with God all things are possible, knowing that even if so often we feel our own sinfulness, our unworthiness, and so often even wonder if it would be possible that we could remain in, that we will be able to remain in faith until that day when God calls us from this life into eternity. We can put our entire trust in God, continue following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his kingdom, and continue putting away sin as it attaches itself onto us and believing it forgiven. Because we know that when we continue to do this, then one day we will receive that eternal reward of life in heaven. And even again this afternoon, dear child of God, uplift your hearts and believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. Believe unto peace, freedom, and joy. And also now, believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And also now when I have kept my last turn of speaking here, of serving you, I want to tell you, children of God, how much my wife Miriam and I have enjoyed being here in your midst, how we have enjoyed attending these services with you, where God has opened his word and revealed his will unto us. I want to thank you for all the care and the hospitality you have shown unto us, and ask you that you would remember us, our family, God's children there in Saskatchewan, in your prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.